As long as we're talking about him now, describe him, his physical presence and being, and how he could talk to people.
Huge. He's a big, big man. Heavy and tall. I didn't think about him being overweight, but he was, of course. What he did regularly, once a year, his brother, who became a good friend of mine, Aubrey Kerr, told me, he'd go check himself into Mayo's in Minnesota and lose weight. He'd lose as much as 50 pounds of weight in the hospital, just laying there in bed. Then, that's Aubrey said, he'd leave the hospital and he'd start eating again and gain it all back. But apparently did that yo-yoing business, which was terribly unhealthy. Eventually died, you know, of a massive heart attack. Robert S. Kerr was a fantastic orator. I've talked to old people who knew him when he was much younger. He was a district attorney and a lawyer for a while, and then he got in oil business. They said back in those days it was just embarrassing. He couldn't speak, but he did so long and got awfully good at it. And he was just wonderful. He had just a riveting way of looking at you, gaze, and he also had a philosophy which he expressed to me that the person you're talking to right now is your only connection with anybody in the world. This is the most important person in the world for you at this moment. And you got that feeling talking to him. Bill Clinton is a lot like that. Just industrial strength, attention to you right now. When I decided I wanted to run for governor after I was in the state senate, Kerr, people had begun to talk to him about me. One was my roommate in Oklahoma City during the state senate sessions, Don Baldwin. Kind of my mentor. He was a close friend of Kerr's. So Kerr sent for me. Who he sent was a U.S. Marshal, Rex Hawks. We called him Hawkeye. He said, the senator wants to see you. He wants to look you over. So I went down to downtown Oklahoma City to the Kerr McGee building, went up on the top floor in his very imposing office, a lot of dark wood and so forth. He got up out of his massive desk, and he had a sign on the front of it, like Harry Truman had in the presidency, the buck stops here, and a Bible. He had no jacket on. He had a flowery tie. Some people said he wore sort of old-fashioned ties when he was in Oklahoma. I think he did it all the time. But he had suspenders and shirt sleeves, massive hand. He came around the desk, all kinds of men. And he sat back down at his desk, took off his black-rimmed glasses and looked at me intensely, and he said, what do you got on your mind, Fred? All of a sudden, I was the supplicant. He'd sent for me. I said, well, you know, I'm running for governor, and I want to talk to you about that. He listened, and then he said, this is word-for-word conversation. He said, Fred, are you humble? One of his staff people, his administrative assistant, I later hired as mine, told me that that was a trick question he asked everybody. And he used to say, Kerr said, anybody that tells you they're humble, they're certainly not humble. Well, I kind of felt it must be a trick question. I said, well, I don't have any trouble remembering where I came from, but sometimes I don't show it, like when I'm pitching you now. He didn't show an expression, though. And he said, Fred, are you sober? I had the fleeting thought, does he mean right now? I said, well, you know, I'll take a drink now and then, but I've never found it to be any personal or political problem. He said, do you know that I had the nerve to have the President of the United States in my home and did not serve him liquor?
Which president?
John Kennedy came to his eastern Oklahoma house over there, that mansion he'd built near Poto. President Kennedy, and stayed the night. He said, did you know I had the nerve to have the President of the United States in my home and did not serve him liquor? Kerr was a teetotaler. I said, yes, sir. Of course, that hadn't all been in the papers. He said, can you think of any way that hurt me? I said, no, sir. He said, can you think of any way it helped me? I said, yes. He said, Fred, if you were to say, I do not drink, neither does my wife. We do not serve liquor in our home, and we will not serve it in the governor's mansion. I could make a lot of hay for you with these Baptist preachers. This is word for word. And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you I'll do that because I don't think I am going to do it. He said, well, they tell me that you're honest. He said, you're the only one that knows whether you're honest or not. And then he said, why did you oppose Edmondson's Southwest Turnpike Bill? And I thought some of his friends were involved in that. I said, well, because I thought there was going to be too damn much corruption involved in it, the potential for it. He never said anything about what he thought. Finally, at the end, signaling and the thing was over, he got up, took hold of my hand, looked me in the eye steadily, and he said, Fred, if I could do it without it hurting me or without it hurting you, I'd like to see you governor. The Cat's Drugstore was along there, close to Main Street. I can remember exactly where I was walking. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, he's going to endorse me. And so I repeated the word to myself again. Fred, if I could do it without it hurting me or without it hurting you, I'd like to see you governor. I thought, he didn't say a damn thing. And he actually wound up quietly supporting the man who won that year, the Democratic nomination, W.P. Bill Adkinson of Midwest City, who lost in the general election to Henry Bellman.
We should say, first of all, though, that you became the youngest state senator at 25 years old.
That's right, Oklahoma State Senate, yes.
Right. And so this talking about governor was after you had served in of the state for some time.
I'd seen governors up close. You know, Jimmy Carter one time, somebody asked him, how'd you get the idea of running for president? He was governor of Georgia. And he said, well, you know, I saw these people come and go. I'd think to myself, well, if that guy can do it, I could. And what I was really interested in, I thought, what I knew best was state issues and how to be governor. My mentor in the Senate, my very close friend, Don Baldwin, he didn't think it was a great idea. He always said, I never try to discourage somebody from running for office because half the time it turns out they get elected and they resent you or they don't run and they say it's all your fault that they didn't. So he wouldn't ever say it directly to me, but he said to me, Fred, if you get elected governor, you'd probably be as good a governor as we ever had. And then after 4 years, since in those days you couldn't succeed yourself, you'd be a has-been. He said, think about this. Uncle Bob, that's what he called Bob Kerr, Uncle Bob and old Macaroni, he said, they're not going to be in the Senate forever. And one of these days, that's what you ought to be thinking about. Well, I was thinking about governor. So I ran for governor, but I didn't get elected.